Welcome to the Classic Holdup Podcast, where we analyze media from the past. Each episode features a different host that brings a fresh take on a film, TV show, video game, or music album of their choice. What can we discover? Do old favorites have a shelf life? Will the classics hold up?
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Classic Holdup, where we analyze our favorite pieces of media to decide whether it holds up today. Now, the piece of media we're going to be looking at today is The Mask, starring Jim Carrey and Cameron Diaz. Released in 1994, the plot of this comedy follows a bank clerk named Stanley Ipkiss who has multiple misfortunes. He then finds a mysterious mask in a river. When he decides to put it on, he's transformed into a trickster with superhuman powers who doesn't have any afflictions about messing with his coworkers at the bank and the gang around town, or getting the girl of his dreams, Tina Carlisle. After his flamboyant actions, Tina starts to be intimidated by him. He starts to be pursued by Lieutenant Kellaway for his crimes, and the mask is stolen by the gang boss Dorian Tyrell. Stanley is caught by police, miraculously escapes, and saves Tina from Dorian after reacquiring the mask. In the end, Stanley throws the mask in the lake and ends up with Tina. Alright, so I cannot wait to talk about this subject. I am a huge fan of this movie. During Christmas every year when I was growing up, the kids would go downstairs to get away from the adults, and we'd bring the dog down, and we would just do whatever, play pool, but on TV, the mask was always on. And I assume she had the DVD because there is definitely no TV station playing The Mask every single time at the same time on Christmas Day. But anyway, it was also great because when those same cousins and I would go on a trip to Indiana, I think it was Jellystone Park, we would take one of the days throughout the week or something and just sit down and take out the portable DVD player and watch The Mask in their trailer. I don't think I knew what the movie was at that point in my life. I think I was too young to really grasp the concept. I knew the whole plot, but I don't think I knew who was in it, like what the movie's title was. But when I grew up, I did. But at that point in time, I didn't. But regardless, it was still a staple of my childhood. Because it's sort of like when you're listening to a song when you're 6 years old, and you say to yourself, that's my favorite song. But you don't know at that age who's singing it or what the title was. But regardless, it's still your favorite song. So that's how The Mask was with me. And I'm just super excited to get into this topic. Now to introduce our guest for the podcast, Ari Corroyanis. What's your personal experiences with the podcast?
So my first time watching this movie was actually this afternoon in order to prepare for this this little interview that we're having. Yeah. And I actually really enjoyed the movie. It really grew on me, and yeah, I enjoyed it.
Was there a particular part that you enjoyed the most about it?
I think one of the funniest parts was when the dog put on the mask towards the end of the movie. He started acting a little rambunctious.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a part that you didn't particularly like or wished they did differently?
I feel like a lot of the parts could have had more comedy that wasn't focused with Jim Carrey. Just like other characters being funny on their own.
Which characters were you thinking about?
The cops and the villains, especially. The villains didn't really have much comedy. They were kind of serious.
Yeah, you're right. But is there any reason you waited until now to watch it?
Maybe just because it's an older movie, but there's no real reason. I've seen a couple Jim Carrey movies. I like Liar Liar by him a lot, but there's no reason in particular.
All right. But also, we're going to shift gears and talk about how the content was viewed on release. So back in 1994, how do you think, before I say anything, that The Mask performed?
I think it would perform pretty well. I think a lot of people in the 90s were fans of comedies, and that's when Jim Carrey got his start. So I would bet it went pretty well.
You'd be right, because not only did The Mask come out in 1994, but that was one of three movies that appeared in 1994 that was Jim Carrey's. Next to The Mask was Ace Ventura and Dumb and Dumber. So the audience was pretty split on which one they wanted to go to that year. But out of the three, The Mask performed the highest with a Rotten Tomatoes rating of 80%. And what was shocking to me the most was that The Mask brought in the most revenue out of the three, because I thought Dumb and Dumber was going to like sweep all three immediately, just so easily. You hear so much about that. That is one of the ones that probably holds up today. But the box office for The Mask was $350 million. And Dumb and Dumber was $247 million. So the fact that it's by more than $100 million is astounding to me. But why do you think that is? Why do you think some performed better than others?
I'd like to know when in the year the movies are released, because I know, especially in the past, studios cared more about the time of year that they released their movies, because they would try to do more releases around the holidays and not as much in the summer. So with him having three movies released that year, maybe he had to stagger them, and Dumb and Dumber could have came out over the summer and had less people going to the movies during that season.
I'll never understand why someone would want to go to the movies more in the winter than the summer. Like, winter to me seems more like, hey, Christmas time, let's watch Christmas movies and all that stuff with my family and my cozy area. But going out to the theater, to me, would be like a summer thing to do.
The thought is that people would want to spend time outside, not be inside locked up for 3 hours or however long the movies take. So, especially in the past, with less technology, people spent more time outside.
But actually, I do have the dates for when those three movies came out. Ace Ventura came out in February 94. The Mask came out in July, so summer. And Dumb and Dumber came out in December. So, I mean, forget fall, I guess. But what was your theory?
Right, so this wasn't my theory originally. It was the studios and Hollywood that had this theory. And it was that movies would perform worse in the summer, because they didn't think people would want to see a movie during that time of the year. And one of the movies that broke that theory was Jaws, which came out in 1978. And it was originally supposed to come out over the holidays, but because of an issue that they had with the shark, the fake shark in the movie, they had to delay production and everything. And then they eventually released it as a summer blockbuster, and it became the first summer blockbuster.
Is this what you're researching instead of listening to lecture?
I learned this actually on a trip to LA in October.
Oh, yeah. Wow. But yeah, we just completely shattered your theory right there.
Because
the highest performing one out of the three was The Mask. So that's wild. But it might still hold up overall. But overall, well done performing wise at the time.
Yeah.
Good on you, Jim. Congrats. All right, now we're going to move on to how the content is viewed now. I guess the way I would phrase it to you is, do you think that this movie is one of Jim Carrey's most memorable?
I would say it is one of his most memorable. I'm not exactly sure how many movies he's actually been in, but there's a relatively short list of movies that I can name with him, and this is one of them.
Well, is that because you watched the movie 3 hours ago, so it's fresh in your mind, or do you think that this actually contends with like The Grinch, which, by the way, my theory is that The Mask is just The Grinch, but not angry. But continue. I just wanted to point that out.
I've definitely, even though I just saw it 3 hours ago, I would say
that you've known of it.
I've definitely known of it. I've known of the green face and everything around it. And I've definitely seen clips and I can see the cultural significance that it has had, even today.
Because the way I see it, the way I've seen it in like pop culture now, it's really just GIFs or short little soundless clips that you can like send to your friends over text.
Right.
Like those are all over the place. You see them in templates on like TikTok or Instagram. You see memes made out of them. But is there any other ways like you can think of that like it's being used?
I think that is a large part of our culture nowadays. So seeing it there, you know, really shows that it is still holding significance today. But other than those examples, I'm not really sure. Possibly we might have some people dressing up for Halloween.
You're totally right. I've seen especially on TikTok, I've seen a bunch of people dressed up as him. You see the Cuban Pete music and the Cuban Pete,
yeah,
the rumpa beat, just like that played in the background. They're just like, it's really just a social media phenomenon now. Like, I'm not saying our culture is centered around the mask, but it's definitely part of it, because there are a bunch of small parts of pop culture that are revived through short form videos on all the apps we use. So,
right.
But how would it do now if we released it today?
I think for the most part, it would do pretty well. And I'm not sure the producers would have to change too much about the movie in order to appeal to audiences today.
I just think it was really just a fun movie that can't really get canceled. I think like a lot of movies are being judged on, like, you can't make a movie like Tropic Thunder and release it today and it'll go well. Like, The Mask, I think, just is a funny movie, a PG-13 movie that can hold up today. And I really believe that it could just be re-released today and do fine. So,
yeah, I agree.
All right. Now we're going to talk about how it may be perceived in the future. So, personally, I don't think a lot of things stay the test of time in general. I think Christmas movies are going to stay until, you know, the end of time. Just look at Mariah Carey. She's made All I Want for Christmas money since, I don't know when it was released, like a long time ago. I just don't see how this movie specifically can stay the test of time that far. Like, let's say 50 years into the future. I don't see how something like this can stay appealing to people for that long, because I think you're thinking what I'm thinking, so.
Yeah, one of the major flaws I would say about this movie is the technology in it. So basically the
special effects.
Yeah, the special effects of the movie. Looking back on superhero movies and different special effects from the 70s and the 60s, we can see from today's lens how dated everything is. And even looking at movies from the 90s, such as The Mask, we see how dated things are. So I can't imagine in 20, 30 years, even 10 years, how we're going to look at the movie and be like, this is really bad from that perspective.
Here's the thing, though. The only thing that it would stay the test of is diehard fans who, I definitely think that I'm diehard for this movie, because it's such a big part of my childhood. Like, I want to show this to my kids, and those people are going to carry it on. Right. But in general, like, people like you, you're going to watch this movie for this podcast, and then you're probably never going to see it again. So there's just an emotional connection that some people have to it that I think other people lack. So that's just my opinion on it. But how do you think you would? Do you think you're going to carry on with this movie? You think you're going to show this to your kids?
I think I'll definitely watch it again.
You sound like you're lying to yourself.
Cut the program.
My name is Emil Gallup.
My name is Jabari Washington.
My name is Abby Townley.
When I complete my degree, I want to be a video editor.
I want to be a full-time content creator.
I want to go into audio design.
My name is Emil Gallup.
My name is Jabari Washington.
My name is Abby Townley.
And I am ComArtsEye.
Start your journey at comartsi.msu.edu.
All right, now we're going to do a quick Q&A. Not so quick Q&A. And we had a few questions submitted by our fans. Thanks, Mom. But for real, we have a few questions. So, do the practical effects still look good by today's standards? You already touched on this, sort of. But
yeah, we touched on this earlier. For the most part, no. There were a few effects that were fine, but there were definitely some that weren't. And that could also be because it was a comedy and they're meant to look a little goofy, and I understand that, and that's why it didn't really bother me too much, so I think it's all right.
Yeah, I agree. But, like, it's just sort of Looney Tunish.
Yeah.
The way he's, like, spinning around, doing all that stuff. And apparently saved some money on special effects because he's just, like, a cartoon himself. It's very silly. And like you said, I think it does apply to the whole aesthetic that's trying to give.
Right.
But as far as, like, Avengers level like cinematography and all that, I don't think they're comparable. Right. I think today's standards sort of, I don't really know if there's a movie comparable to The Mask these days, because it's its own form of comedy and that appeal to it, the Looney Tunes-ish look to it, appeal to it. And today's standards sort of apply to more cinematic, like Interstellar and Avengers level movies. So personally, I don't think they're very comparable. But in the end, if you're just basing it all on whether Looney Tunes versus Avengers is bad or good, then yeah, The Mask was absolutely awful. But I don't think they're comparable.
Yeah, I agree. They're just two different genres. Yeah, yeah, genres of movies.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to move on to question number two. Do you feel this is a story that could reasonably come out today? And I feel like we also sort of touched on this when we talked about whether it's applicable in the present or in the future. But thoughts?
Yeah, I think there's no reason why the plot and everything that happens in the movie wouldn't be able to be successful today or produced today. I think the general public would still accept the movie and still want to go out and watch it.
I agree. I think the only thing that would change is the rating. I think that it would go from PG-13 to G, because the things that are rated R these days should not even be shown on screen. But yeah, there's no reason that this movie can't come out today. It was absolutely fantastic to watch, and yeah, there's nothing cancelable about it.
Yeah.
And to number three, how philosophic. Is this a good Jim Carrey movie?
I think it was. I think I touched on this earlier. I do know I can name off a few Jim Carrey movies. I haven't seen too many. I would say that Liar Liar is my favorite Jim Carrey movie.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, this one really grew on me. Just like as I got more into the movie, I liked it more and more. At first, I thought it was a little goofy, but...
A little silly.
Yeah. But as it progressed, I got more attached to the characters and I liked everything about it.
I'm biased because this movie is like a staple of my childhood. I didn't know what it was. Like, you know that movie that you're watching when you're like really young, so you don't really... Or like a song. Like You listen to a song when you're like really young and then randomly you hear it when you're like 19 and you're like, I love you. And so that's basically how it was for me when I found it. And I didn't know that it was Cameron Diaz. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that that's who it was. I'm trying to remember a movie she's in right now, but I can't. I'm coming up with nothing. But overall, it's just, I'm biased. It's just a fantastic movie. I have not watched Liar Liar. I have not watched a lot of Jim Carrey movies in general. I honestly wasn't a big fan of The Grinch either. So I'd rather not face a bullet for saying that. But if you must, so be it. But it's just, overall, this is my favorite Jim Carrey movie. And that is because it is the only Jim Carrey movie I've watched. So there you have it. And, I like this one. Is there anyone else that could play the Mask character? The answer is no, but you're allowed to weigh in.
I think he was a great, great guy for the role. And he's very unique. I don't know really anybody else who could have quite done it like him.
Mm-hmm. Because there isn't, but continue.
I mean, if we wanted to list off somebody, it would obviously have to be a comedian, Somebody very goofy.
Yeah, notice how you come up with no one, but continue. Yeah.
I don't know, maybe Adam Sandler, but he's quite animated as well.
What's going on? Smoking.
But he'd take it a little differently. I don't know if he could have been as trickster. He'd be a little more goofy, I think.
I can't take that seriously. I can't imagine the dude from Grown Ups being the best.
Yeah, it would definitely be like...
You're right, though. That's what bothers me. But it's just like, I personally don't. I can't see a situation where anyone else... It was because it was built around him. Like his entire... Not just his acting style, but his comedy style. It's just being a goof.
Yeah.
Like, imagine who you were at 7 years old. That's Jim Carrey at 35. that's just the way he is. And the body movements he does, like, it's just... it's just built for him. He is a human cartoon, and I think no one else could have played that character. I'm not going to ask you your opinion because it's wrong. So there's your Q&A. I hope we weighed in on that. Thank you, Mom. All right, and finally, we're going to discuss if the content holds up. Does the mask hold up? Ari, what's your opinion?
Overall, I think it's kind of tough to say yes on that one.
I disappointedly agree.
Yeah, so one of the main reasons I say that is because in my personal experience, there's a lot of people who aren't the biggest fans of Jim Carrey.
Haters.
Yeah, and they simply just won't watch his movies. For example, I know a lot of mothers, mine included.
Mine included.
Find him a little too goofy, a little annoying, just not funny.
He has a more physical style of comedy that more appeals to guys in general. Mm-hmm. But even then, a lot of my family doesn't like him either. So I guess it's just something kids might appeal to more than anything else. Right. That's why I think it's hard for me to say no to this because I'm biased and I love this movie. But it's also hard because I have to take my bias out of it and think that people don't like Jim Carrey while also just not liking that flamboyant nature of a character.
Right. Yeah, it's a special type of comedy that not a lot of people enjoy, I would say. Because if you were to put this on, if you're scrolling through Netflix and you land on that one, you're going to have a pretty divisive opinion on that.
Yeah, I agree. Because the debate on family movie night is already difficult enough, lasting at an average 1 hour and 15 minutes every time. Usually the runtime of the movie doesn't exceed the amount of time it takes to decide a movie. But I just think that in addition to that, I know what I said earlier about social media reviving it and just making short form videos like revive just different pieces of pop culture as random as they are. Could be Dumb and Dumber, could be The Mask, could be something non-Jim Carrey related. It's just random parts. That crying scene in Interstellar, like people memed that. So it pains me to say that I see more of Liar Liar and Dumb and Dumber on social media platforms and short form content than this movie. And just in general, I feel like it's such a small corner of the internet that just it doesn't have a significant impact on us today. Because again, I'm biased. I would love it too. I'm definitely showing this movie to my kids in the future, but I have to put that aside and realize that that's not the case for a majority of other people.
Right. Yeah, I would have to agree with that. I think the fact that I haven't seen the movie up until this point, and I'm 20 years old, and I do enjoy comedies, and I like to be goofy and stuff. So I think
that's
just
for sure.
Just the fact that I haven't seen it really shows that it hasn't really stood the test of time too well.
The fact that I had to ask you to watch this movie does not bode well for it. There were some contenders that knew of this movie and loved it, but I feel like that's such a niche, small group of people who can say every word of this movie, know the dance moves, had a crush on Cameron Diaz, and like that group of people, I can talk to them all day, but darn it, I'm sad. I was really hoping this held up, but gotta put my pride to the side. Gotta look at the truth objectively. And Ari, you are showing me the truth today. And I'm sad.
I'm glad I could help.
You shouldn't be. But yeah, that is the final decision. And we will say it out loud together. It does not.
It does not stand
hold up. You heard it here and only here because we're the only ones who love this topic. I am the only one who loves this topic enough to make it into a podcast. So that is the decision. It does not hold up. That hurt my soul. Okay. That's it for our podcast today. I want to thank Ari for coming in and talking about this topic with us. Thank you.
Of course. It was my pleasure.
And yeah, so it doesn't hold up, guys. That's what we decided. Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, guys. But thank you all for listening. It's been fantastic being here. It's been fantastic getting to talk about one of my favorite movies of my childhood, despite the verdict. And yeah, thank you, everybody. Have a great night. Edited and produced by Costa Cosmos.
Find the Classic Holdup on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us at Audio Video Land for updates, teasers, and behind-the-scenes content of all Audio Video Land productions. The Classic Holdup is an Audio Video Land production by digital storytelling students of Michigan State University in collaboration with Impact 89 FM.